Our reading will be taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, starting at verse number 11. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads. Verse 11. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Go on and grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. They need you to tell them these encouraging words. Amen. They need to hear these encouraging words. Get them by both hands. Look them at both. Look them in. Look them square in the eye, and say to them, "Neighbor, hold your head up. Neighbor, hold your head up." Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message for this service, "Hold Your Head Up." You know, there's something that we have to see here. What we have to see here is that as the people of God, as I shared with y'all just not very long ago, a few minutes ago, about a situation I went through and what happened to me. And after that happened, you know, I had already written this sermon, had already studied. But you know what happened to my head when I thought about what happened? I dropped it for a minute. But then God had to remind me, bro, what did I just have you put together? It's about holding your head up. You see, I want us to see something that is very prevalent and we got to understand. You see, there are some folk, Reverend Dad, that know our history. And they knew us before we was reverends, before we were deacons, before we was trustees, before we were even Christians. Brother Mike, they knew us. And since they knew us then, they look at us now and they wonder, really? This is who you are. And it causes us to struggle. But I say that to say this, y'all. The struggle just didn't start with us. It goes back here to the first century, transitioning into the second century, of a body of believers in the church in Thessalonica. And in this church, Paul went to this town to preach and to teach and to bring the gospel to a people who had no inkling about Jesus. Deacon Booth, Paul went there and he poured out all that God had poured in him into these people. And as he did this, some gave their lives to Christ and the church was established, and it was, the folk were on fire. They were excited. They were going and sharing the good news. And you know, they probably ran across some folk, Deacon Elwood, that knew them and there was. And then when they say, "Oh, you want to talk to me about how sin? Do you remember some of the sins you and I did?" You know, they might have heard that and they probably went back to the church head down. But Paul was there to encourage them. Paul was there to lift them back up. Paul was there to let them know it's okay. You're going to be all right. Paul was their cheerleader and he was there hanging with them. But as Paul saw the church growing and maturing, Paul felt that the Lord is moving me to go somewhere else now. So y'all have things in place. You are rooted in the word. You know your foundation. Move in your blessing. Walk in your blessing. And the Lord will see you through. But I want you to know, after Paul left, Paul got some letters, Deacon Jones, from the church in Thessalonica. And as he got these letters, something in that letter stated, we don't feel as though we're worthy to be utilized by God. You know, and the reason why we don't feel worthy is because others are telling us we're not worthy. You see, my brothers and sisters, so when Paul got this information from them, because Paul's letter here is a response to what they sent him. We don't have all the details of what they sent him, but we do have the details of his response. And based on his response, Prince, we can somehow decipher some of the things that must have been contained in the letter that he received. But what Paul was doing here in this letter and up to this point was letting the folk know here in this area that y'all are loved by God. You were once lost, but now you've been found. You were blind, but now you can see. The Thessalonians need to come to the realization that they are what they are, not because they've done it. It's because of what God has done for them. You see, Mother Austin, what folk don't want us to remember, the only reason we are in church praising God and gave our lives to the Lord is because the Lord called us. So since the Lord called us, Sister Rose, you know the thing we got to remember? There's some things you might know about me. There's a few things I might know about you, but we don't know a whole lot. But you know who knows you and I better than ourselves? It's God. Don't you know the Lord knows us and has seen us? He has seen us at our very worst. He sees us at our very best. He's seen us in all areas in between. And still, God said, I'm calling you. And then we wonder, like, Lord, how can you want to call somebody like me? Knowing what my history has been. Knowing how messed up I have been. But, Lord, you're saying you want to call me and use me to help somebody else to come to know you as Lord and as Savior? I'm not worthy, Lord. How can I be worthy? Look at my life. Look at what I've done. Look at how I've messed up. But you're still calling me? You see, my brothers and sisters, what Paul was letting them know, without telling his whole story over and over again, because I know he done told his story to them about how he was a persecutor of the church. But now he is the one who is building up the one. At one time he was trying to tear down. And he realized that he had to hold his head up. In order for the Lord to use him, he could not focus on yesterday, but he had to look at today, because the Lord didn't have to bless him. The Lord didn't have to use him. But the one thing I want us to get, you and I have to always remember, Brother Simpson, God called us. We didn't call God. God said to us, I'm going to use you. And so since God called us, there's always going to be some folk who want to talk about us. Because I want you to know, when we was messed up, Brother Mac, they was talking about us. And now that we're in God's house, what do you think they're still doing? Talking about us. And they're going to think that we are hypocrites. They're going to think we are this and we are that. Well, you know what? I might not be perfect, but I'm not what I used to be. I might stumble sometimes, but I've come a mighty long way. I know I only am where I am because the Lord has blessed me. The Lord has touched me. The Lord has turned me around. So I'm going to let the Lord know I am here and I'm going to do what you called me to do, because I don't think I'm worthy, but you do. Do you hear that? Paul says, I'm praying for you that the God will make you worthy. So in all actuality, what Paul was saying to them is not so much that the Lord's going to make you worthy. The Lord has already done that. But what the Lord is going to show you, it don't matter about the outside noise. There's always some outside noise, y'all. Are you hearing what I'm saying, Kaomi? There's always some outside noise. How can the Lord use me? How can the Lord guide me? How can I be a blessing to the Lord? Look at my life. I was toe up from the flow up, and now I'm just excited that I'm not as messed up as I used to be. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord is not satisfied with just changing you. The Lord has a work for you to do. You don't believe me? Look at the Bible. Come on, let's go and look at this thing, because I want us to see. I want somebody today to realize that you have the potential to do great things in the name of Jesus. And it don't matter what has happened in your past, but today is a new day. And we're going to operate in the newness of the God whom we serve. He made a difference in us. So we ourselves are going to be what? Difference makers. Now let's go and see this. When you look here at verse number 11, I must read it one more time. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call. Why? So he will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith. You see, what we have to come to the realization that God wants to fill us with his power. Are you hearing what I'm saying, Sister Penn? God wants to fill us with his power. Because when we're filled with the power of God, my brothers and my sisters, then that means that God wants to use us to help folk transition from being toe up from the flow up to where they are able to be used by God. And that's as God wants to use us to transition folk from a nothing to a something. You see, once the Lord uses us to transition them from a nothing to a something, then the Lord will help us to help them to become productive. When you look at resolve, it's all about transitioning. When you look at work, it's all about being productive. Now, let me put it to you this way. How many folk can work a job and do a bad job and not get fired? If you aren't productive on your job, what are they going to do? Come on now. They're going to tell you to get the step in, right? Because of the fact that you go to work in order to be what? Productive. So as a child of God, we got to be what? Productive. But before we can be productive, we must understand that the Lord has done something in us. And once we know that the Lord has blessed us, empowered us, and transitioned us, then we help others to make the transition from being a sinner to a saint. Then we help others to recognize it's not just enough to come to church and get happy and shout hallelujah. It's not just enough to come here and smile at folk. It's not just enough to say I'm in the number. What we are here to do is we are here to make a difference. We are here to help somebody. We are here to let folk know there is a better way. You don't have to be toe up. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be misdirected. The Lord has come to give us direction. The Lord has come to transition us. And now that we have been transitioned, all of the people of God ought to be productive. Now, how do we become productive? What are we doing to have folk transition to become productive? I'm glad you asked. Because the answer is right here in verse number 12. Because he says in verse number 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I want you to understand something. Can I just use this simple analogy? You see, Lewis, I want you to know there might have been a brother who could sing some of them good old R&B songs and have all the girls scream every time the brother starts singing, because he has got that kind of voice. And because of him having that kind of voice, he had a certain kind of lifestyle. But don't you know that one day he transitioned? And as he made that transition, he realized that he wanted to be productive. So in order to be productive, he knew that the Lord, Reverend Dav, had given him a voice that sounds real good. He said, I used it to croon folk, but now I'm going to use my voice to praise God. But now that he is using his voice to praise God, there are some folk looking at him, sucking his teeth, rolling their eyes, and like, I just can't believe it that he is over here singing now, because I remember how he was singing then. Rather than us praising God for the transition that has taken place, because I want you to know that if you're going to go through the transition, every child of God wants to be productive. And now that the brother is singing to the praises of God, he every now and then wonders, Lord, am I really worthy to sing your song? But then there was this old preacher that came and talked to him. The old preacher came and talked to him and sat him down and said, son, let me let you know something. It is not you who is able to do this. It is God who is working through you. Amen. And since God is working through you, it is God who has given you this ability. And if God has given you this ability to do what you do, you better do it to the utmost. And don't you know that that brother after that point on, that brother would praise God. Didn't care how folk would look at him. Didn't care what they would say about him. Because he said, I'm going to hold my head up because I know that there was a time my head was down. But now that I have experienced the grace and mercy of the Lord, I'm going to sing the praises of Jesus because I want somebody to know that we serve a mighty good God who took us from a nothing and made something with us. He has healed me. He has delivered me. And I'm going to sing until I can't sing no more because I serve a mighty good God. Do I got a witness in God's house? Has the Lord been a blessing to you? Has he transitioned you? Are you being productive for him? I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, you've got some work to do. I've got some work to do. Why? Because the Lord has transitioned us. Do I got a witness in God's house? Anybody going to hold their head up? Anybody going to praise God? Anybody going to thank him? Has he done something for you? Has he brought you through anything? Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to praise him. It's time to hold your head up. Hold your head up, my brothers. Hold your head up, my sisters. Because guess what? You do what you do. You can have a seat. I'm almost there. You can do what you do. You know why you can do it? Brother Red, it's called grace. Because of God's grace, you're able to do what you do. And when you know that God has showed you grace, then I'm going to do what I can do to the utmost. Because guess what? It could have been the other way. But the Lord decided to do what he's doing in you right now. So we understand that we're going to hold our head up. See, there's a difference between lifting your head up and holding your head up. You see, because David, if you just lift your head up, that means I'm going to look for a minute, then I can what? Put it back down. But if I'm going to hold my head up, what I'm saying is that I'm going to keep my head up. All Even when I make a mistake, I'm going to keep my head up. Yeah. I understand I don't dot all my I's and cross all my T's, but I'm going to keep my head up. Yeah. It ain't that I'm putting on a false front. I'm just saying, Lord, I'm still working on me. I'm still getting better each and every day. Right. So, Lord, I need your help. So in order for me to get the help I need, I got to continue to look up. So I got to hold my head up. There's going to be times when folk going to talk about me, but I'm going to hold my head up. There'll be times when they turn their back on me, but I'm going to hold my head up. There'll be times I might stumble, but I'm going to hold my head up because God has shown me grace. And through the grace of God, I am still here. And if I am here, I am here for a reason. Do you know you are here for a reason? It's not by happenstance. It's not by luck or chuck. God's got you here for a reason. So since you are here for a reason, you got to be productive. It's time for the people of God to be productive. Now, if we're going to be productive, if we're going to be for real productive, God bless you, then we got work to do. What does that mean we got work to do? We ought to be sharing the good news with folk wherever we go. Amen. Because I want you to understand something, that when you glorify the Lord, it also says that he's going to glorify you. So what does that mean? That when you allow the Lord to use you, the Lord's going to bless you. Yeah. And as the Lord bless you, you don't have to have what's called survivor's remorse. Meaning that the Lord take you from where you started out, where you might have been in that house with that old pot belly stove in it. You remember that? You might have been in that house. But the Lord has now blessed you. Now that you got a dual air and heating condition in your house. You know you got an upstairs, a downstairs. You got your own bathroom in your own bedroom. You know, you got the most self-cleaning oven. You got a dishwasher. You got all this stuff, all these amenities. The Lord has blessed you. And now that the Lord has blessed you, it is not for you to sit there and feel survivor's remorse. It's God showing you grace because you make it your business to glorify him in your life. And when the Lord elevates you, the Lord blesses you, you ain't got to feel guilty about it. You just continue to praise God and continue to keep your hands to the plow. And when folk want to talk about all that you're doing, you say, don't get it twisted. It's nobody but Jesus who's making a way out of no way. Nobody but Jesus who's blessing me to see another day. Nobody but Jesus keeping me in my right mind. Nobody but Jesus keeping me in good health. Nobody but Jesus giving me full activity of my limbs. Nobody but Jesus allowing me to do what I do. Do I got a witness in God's house? I tell y'all, it's nobody but Jesus. So since it's nobody but Jesus, hold your head. Hold your head. You see, my brothers, you see, my sister. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I will not put you down. But I will lift you up.
Amen.
Did you hear that?
Thank you, Lord.
If we all take that attitude, Sister Ernestine, you know what kind of church we will be?
Come on now.
We will be a church that has such the other an anointing of God. It's going to blow us away. But that's where we're going. Because you know why we're going that way? Because when you hold your head up, you're able to see somebody else if their head starts to dip. And if their head starts to dip, you know what you do? You just go over to them. Just lift it up. And you know what? And if they ever see you and your head start to dip, what they're going to do is they're going to just say what? Because you come to realize and understand that when we're all in this together, there is no big I's and little U's. It's just a whole bunch of us. Because you know why? It's all level ground by the cross. And since it's all level ground by the cross, none of us are higher than others. And we're all here for the sole purpose of lifting up Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, our healer, our Redeemer. He is our all in all. He is the reason why we are in this place. And it is through his blood that our sins have been washed away. The Lord has done a great work in us. And since he's done a great work in us, don't you dare feel that you are not worthy, because God is the one who said you are. And if God says you are, I don't care what anybody else say about you, because he's the one who called you. He's the one who's using you. He's the one who is blessing you. So I don't care what you know about me. I don't care how much you know about me. I know who I am right now. I am a child of the living God, and I've been called to do great things. And I don't know about you, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, because when I walk by faith, then I am pleasing God, and I know he's going to bless me. I know he's going to use me. Do I got anybody who wanted God to use me? Do I have anybody who's going to step out on faith? Do I have anybody who says I'm going to be productive because I've been transformed? When you understand what the Lord has done for you, you don't keep it to yourself, but you got to share it with somebody else. Because I want you to know, we will not corner the market on our God. We will share him with whomever and whoever. Because we know that he can save anybody. He can use anybody. If he can speak through a donkey, he can use anybody. If he can cause the Red Sea to be parted, he can do what he wants when he wants. You see, so all we got to do is put our trust in him. And as we put our trust in him, we're going to hold our head. Why? Because our God is just good.
Amen.
Oh, he's just good like that. And when you know how good our God is, that's how come whenever we come in God's house, we are already getting recharged. Because we know how good our God is. And we know that he's the one who took us up out the darkness and brought us into the marvelous light. Our God is just good like that. And when he brought us up in here, didn't he make some changes in us? Didn't he get the wrinkles out of us? Didn't he glue us back together again? Didn't he do a great work in us? I tell you, our God is just good like that. And since we know how good he is, we're going to hold our head. You You know, before I give any invitation, that's right, baby, keep on helping Pastor preach. Before I give up any invitation, one of the things I want us to do is let us all just bow our heads and just close our eyes. Don't get nervous. I ain't going to tell you you have to come up here or any of that. But what I want you to do, look at you. And when you look at you, I want you to answer these questions. If you've been transformed, your answer ought to be yes. And if you've been transformed, the second question you have to ask yourself, am I productive? The answer ought to be yes. But only you know the answer to those two questions. And then the third thing is, do you hold your head up? If you've answered no to any of those, I'm not asking you to put your hand up. I ain't asking you to come to the altar and pray for you today. But what I'm saying to you is, it's called evaluate you. I want you to be real with you. And I purposely put that out there to let you know that I ain't going to ask you to come to the altar. And I ain't going to be praying for you. I'm going to always be praying for you, but I'm not going to ask you to come today. Because if I do, then somebody ain't going to be truthful with themselves. I want you to deal with the truth of who you are and what you do. Are you really productive? Have you been transformed? And do you hold your head up? Now I'm going to ask all